You're listening to the Simo and Jordan podcast. If listening persists, please see your therapist. Well, it's obviously too late for him. He's been listening far too long.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, it's not often on this show that we deal with kind of breaking news, breaking political news as well.
All right.
However, I'm going to buck the trend right now. Simo, as you are aware, there was a little bit of election over in the USA.
Yeah, it was a big one, actually.
That's not the breaking news. I think we knew that. That's quite old.
Yeah, there's been a lot of coverage on it. Did you actually see, I saw a photo of, who was it, the vice president now, Kamala Harris,
In
the US.
Mm-hmm.
And she was wearing exactly what Lisa was in The Simpsons when she became president.
Oh, as The Simpsons predicted the future again.
Again, yeah.
Simpsons aside, though, Simo, Joe Biden, he did win. Not if you believe the conspiracy theorists,
right.
But, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He won.
Yep.
He's moved into the office. He's already started doing a lot of things.
Okay.
He's signed America back up to the Paris Agreement and lots of other good things as well.
I heard that.
One thing that he has done, which has kind of slipped under the radar, perhaps less important than signing America back up to the Paris Agreement, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Joe Biden has removed Donald Trump's Diet Coke button from the desk in the Oval Office in the White House.
Whoa, so say that again.
So Donald Trump, during his time as president, he had a Diet Coke button that was on his desk, and the press of a button would dispense his favorite soft drink.
Legit, or someone would come in and bring it to him?
Well, that's the thing. I don't know. There's like kind of conflicting reports about this because there was this. It's on the desk,
okay,
but it's not big enough to house a lot of Diet Coke that would then pour out. So
yeah. I feel like he's probably got a personal waiter that's brought that into him.
Yeah, I was trying to work out whether it's like stored under the desk and then dispensed somehow, or whether it's just someone bringing him in a bottle of Diet Coke. I'm not sure how it works.
Because I've seen the Resolute Desk in National Treasure starring Nicolas Cage, which is the desk in the Oval Office.
I should say that's not a documentary.
And it's a very...
Don't take everything you see in that movie for verbatim.
Well, according to Nicolas Cage, there's two matching desks. One's in the Oval Office and one is in Buckingham Palace. And they're very old desks. So
why is there one in Buckingham Palace?
Because the Queen...
Queen just... I can do better than you, Donald!
Because the Queen had two desks made and it was like...
Donald would have a Diet Coke dispenser, the Queen would have hot tea.
Because the Queen had a couple of desks made in honour of their, like, allegiance.
Okay.
Back in the day. And sent them to America.
Mm.
Like, not the current Queen. I'm talking, like, the British Queen at some point.
Oh, like...
Yeah, original, like Elizabeth or whatever.
Not Elizabeth, who's been on the throne for quite a while.
Well,
now.
She's number two.
Yeah.
But history lesson aside...
Yes.
The desk is very old, so I doubt Diet Coke dispensers were a thing when that desk was created.
No,
crafted.
It would have been a surprise if the American president in the 1800s or whenever this was...
Yeah.
Ripped open the box to see what was inside the present from the Queen, and there was a desk complete with Diet Coke things. Like, oh, that drink won't be invented for another 55 years. Like,
wow, they really are the future.
Honestly, the British, they're really the future.
And, of course, the Americans and the Brits never had a problem with each other.
No.
Never.
Never.
History lesson aside.
Mm. Moving back on to, very quickly, back to the Diet Coke button that was on the desk. Yeah, Joe Biden, he has got rid of it, so it's not there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's unconfirmed whether, like, Trump took it with him, the button.
Yeah, it's odd.
I don't know, maybe he did, maybe Biden just got rid of it.
He's changed it to Fanta.
Perhaps, is he a
switched
Fanta
it
now?
Out? Yeah. I don't know.
No.
It's just like, he's probably switched out the Diet Coke, get real sugar in there.
Yeah.
Yep. That's, he's like, no fake sugars in here.
Well, Simo, unfortunately he hasn't changed over to Fanta.
Okay.
But it's unclear what happened with this Diet Coke button. I mean, Trump may have taken it with him or Biden may have gotten rid of it. If Biden got rid of it, there is somewhere in the world a big button that says Diet Coke just sitting in a drawer somewhere.
Very true.
If no one in the White House wants it... Send it over here.
Yeah, I think you'll need the hospitality worker
included. Look, I've got
included.
Send him over too.
How much? How many grand a year do you reckon that person was making?
Oh,
that was bringing Diet Coke.
I don't.
60?
Don't even want to think about it.
80 grand a year?
I don't even want to think about it. But Simo, there is a perfect place on my desk here in the studio.
Hmm.
Don't you think like that would be a perfect spot for like a Diet Coke button? So midway through the show, you could go, oh, I'm feeling a bit parched.
Yes.
I might press the button.
All right.
And then Diet Coke comes.
It would appear. Yeah, it sounds like a good idea.
And if we want to clone Donald Trump, we've probably got his DNA on the button.
Yeah.
Not that we want to do that.
Yeah. No, deep clean.
Yeah.
Deep and thorough clean.
Actually, yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah.
Don't people use Diet Coke to clean things?
Diet Coke, not for me, for the button.
Simo and Jordan.
Right now we have a one-star review alert.
Okay.
Okay.
Hopefully not one-star review of this show.
No, our podcast is 5 stars.
Oh, is it? That?
Yeah, get on board.
I know. Brilliant.
Somehow.
Hang on, how many reviews do we have? Do we just have one that's my mum?
We've got it. No, I don't think it is your mum.
Two, my mum and dad.
Yeah. This one-star review came across my desk during the week. A guy has stayed at, I think it's like Palm Springs over there in the US, in a resort in December, and he's dished it a 1-star. However, he's not angry with the resort.
Okay.
Okay, but it does only get 1-star.
Right.
Ready to unpack this?
I don't feel I have much of an option considering the music started.
So he's, you know, a storm's brewing outside. He's thinking, does he need to review and put a negative review online?
He's looking out the curtain. Is that Dido singing underneath that tree?
He's very tortured as he sits by the fireplace, crackling, whips out the tablet or the laptop.
Or the quill.
My wife and I went to this resort. Beautiful resort. Water, sand, pools, and the service was amazing. We had such a good time that I, husband in brackets, decided to fly home to get our son, Tom, and enjoy it also. When I returned, things seemed awkward. My wife eventually told me that she went to a massage while I was picking up our son, and the masseuse seduced her and spent the night with her. I'm not blaming the resort for this. This is my wife's fault. But just so you know that this is a thing that can happen at this resort.
But the resort was good.
But only worth 1-star.
I mean, technically, he should be giving a 1-star review to his wife.
Clearly, yeah. Just on that, that would be scathing, I think, if you saw that pop up on Facebook.
Also, imagine if you if you're like the owner of this resort and you've kind of seen, you've had the notification, oh no, 1-star, one of my guests had a bad time. What? And then you read their review.
Yep.
And it's like, what? So how can I be in charge of that?
Yeah, so it's worth mentioning, it says, date of stay, December 2020, trip type, traveled as a couple.
Traveled one way as a couple?
Yep, traveled back as individuals.
Oh, that's awkward, because they would have booked the flight back at the same time.
Yeah, and it's, I do wonder whether or not, I think this 1-star might actually really help the resort.
Why?
Because obviously he's very pleasant and very positive about what the resort, you know, it was beautiful, there was water, there was sand, there was a pool, the service was amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, who typically books family trips, Jordan?
Well, families.
Yeah, but in that family, in a family unit, in your experience, who typically books those things? Who's in charge of the bookings?
Well, not the 10-year-old son, because otherwise we would have gone to Disneyland every single time.
Correct. And I think that the dad normally would probably do the same.
Yeah.
Because they are, men are children.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Which means I think there may be an increase of maybe single mums bookings flowing into this particular resort.
Okay.
You see what I'm putting down?
I see your point, but at the same time, I think the resort wouldn't want any 1-star reviews on their resort. Mm. No matter, even if it goes on to say, oh yeah, the resort was good, but it was just other issues. I think that that big kind of 1-star at the top of the review, a lot of people will see that and just not bother reading the rest.
Any publicity?
Yeah, but if it's a 1-star review, maybe we can do without that publicity.
What if it was 2? What? That's going to make a bigger difference?
Look, I mean, it's not much better.
I just hope that the masseuse has been, you know, did he get employee of the month there locally or what?
Well, obviously not, because he's caused the resort to have a 1-star review.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
Back in your youth, back when you were a young Simo.
Yes, little Simo.
Did you ever, were you any good at going to arcades and what are they called, skill testers, I think? Or like the crane machines?
No, I
You know the one I mean, though. There's a whole lot of, like, toys, and then you have to, like, control the crane that'll kind of move and then drop down.
Is that a skill test?
And it'll kind of grab something out of it, and often it'll kind of slip out of the claws. I think they're called skill testers.
The claw. Yeah, I was hopeless at the claw one. The one with the flashing light that would go round in a circle. Did you ever do that one?
Oh, yeah.
And try and, like, hit reaction time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was actually very decent at that one.
Okay.
But the claw, quite poor.
Yeah, the claw, it's always one of those ones because you can see all the prizes, they're just there. You can, you're so close, you can almost touch them, but yet it's so impossible to get.
There was one in the pub that I was working at.
Yeah.
And there was always the tactics, you know, that people apply are just incredible. Because there's obviously...
When you say the tactics that people apply, the tactics that you apply?
No, this is not, I can't claim the genius behind this. So joystick is obviously involved.
Yep.
And you use that to maneuver where you want to go.
Yeah, yeah.
There was this one guy, Scotty. Big fan of bourbon and coke. He would then use the joystick to go left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right.
So far, nothing unusual. That's what the joystick's there for.
Yeah, but so much so that the claw would start swinging
at
the top of the skill tester and then come down in a, like a...
So it's swinging on its way. It doesn't just drop down. It kind of swings back.
In a dangly motion on the way down.
And does that help?
No idea.
Okay.
Not sure.
I feel that would hinder.
I don't know. He was just what he was up to, so... Mm. You know, each to their own.
Yeah. Well, I mean, was there often times that you, back when you, because you were a bartender at this pub.
Correct.
We back in your older days. Did you ever kind of, there'd be customers waiting for a drink and you're like, hang on, I'm almost about to get it.
Nah, but lots of people did gather around to watch Scotty's expertise.
Yeah.
Not that he ever won anything, but it was like, what's he doing?
Also, the reason I bring up all of these like skill testers and these claw machines is a Guinness World Record has been set to do with these type things.
Okay.
It's not the most that you've ever won, because that would be like two or three, because no one ever wins anything on them.
Mm.
It is the most claw crane machines in one venue.
Woo.
And, so this is in Japan, so once COVID's over and we can go travelling the world, Scotty will be on the first flight over there.
That's where Scotty's ashes will be spread.
So an arcade in Japan was awarded the Guinness World Record for having the largest amount of these claw machines in one venue, 477.
Wow.
In one kind of specific arcade.
Hmm, cool.
Now, Simo, would that not be the most frustrating arcade that you have ever been to? Ever.
Yeah.
The whole point of arcades is they're fun. You can go and with your friends and all that sort of stuff.
Those ones.
Like, if it was me, if I went to this one, they're 100% I would leave in tears.
Yeah, those are. It's a gateway drug, isn't it? Those arcade machines, those skill testers.
Yeah.
They're gateway drugs to pokies, really.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Well, I mean.
In a way.
I don't do pokies, but
You strike me as someone who would, but
I don't do pokies. Okay. But from what I understand, is you don't win a fluffy toy.
No.
When all the lights and stuff are going off, that's not what you get.
But yeah, you grow up out of the fluffy toy.
I don't know. I'd still appreciate a fluffy toy.
Well, there you go. So I think that's maybe where was this?
So this is in Japan.
Are pokies outlawed there? Because I think they may have...
It seems like something that would be, I don't know.
So it seems like outside of the casino, if this isn't a casino, this is the next closest thing that they could get.
Yeah. Also, there's no... you don't win money with these claw machines, I should say.
No, but you...
They're just the stock standard ones.
But they do take money.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, but so does a lot of things.
It's a slippery slope from skill testing to broke.
Look, these machines are super frustrating. That is the whole point.
Okay, yeah.
And that I think that if I went to this arcade, I reckon it would be fun for about 30 seconds and then would get very, very frustrating.
Mm, the claw. I was never a big fan, to be honest.
No.
Yep.
We'll maybe tick this one off your bucket list.
Where was it?
In Japan.
Japan. Yeah, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, okay. Well,
yeah.
You can go to Tokyo or something else.
Sword Museum, Katana Museum. That's where I'd be headed.
Actually, that does sound a lot funner.
Why is everything so aggressive over there? Claw... Sword. There's a lot of angry metallic objects.
Yeah. Look, I mean, now you mention it, I hadn't thought that there would be a lot of angry stuff in Japan, but now you mention it, there's kind of a lot. I was like, Japan, are you okay?
Yeah, is everything all right?
Do we need to have a chat?
Just go and relax a bit. Go over there and play one skill tester at a time.
Actually, you know, I just thought of why there might be so many.
What?
Because there's so many of these claw machines. People have never won stuff. They're so frustrated. They have to get their anger out in other ways.
Just to smash them up to bits.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I need a sword. I need to smash like a watermelon or something.
Simo and Jordan.
And this weekend's coming up quick. You're thinking about making a trip to maybe Canberra, seeing a museum, seeing some lovely pieces of art?
I might be going to Canberra, actually. I don't know whether I'll pop into any museums. Why? Is there anything that may tickle one's fancy?
Oh, well, there was a painting heist that happened this week. Did you see this?
No.
A 500-year-old painting was stolen from Naples Church, so out there in Italy.
Okay.
So it's a church museum. It was an oil painting, a copy of Leonardo da Vinci's famous artwork. It's a painting of Jesus, by the way.
Right.
There he is. Look at him.
Well, that would make sense why they would have it in a... They had this in a cathedral, did you say?
Yeah, some kind of church museum.
Okay, yeah, well, that would be the place that you would put it. That makes sense.
So the heist, no one even knew that it was missing. That's how good it was, the heist.
Obviously, someone found out at some point.
So
I'm pretty sure Jesus was on that wall over there.
So apparently what did they say that the police... here we go. The painting was found thanks to a brilliant and diligent police operation. That's a prosecutor there, Giovanni.
So they found the painting and they've got it back.
Correct.
All right.
Right. Now, it's the diligent police work that I wanted to draw attention to.
Yeah.
So the museum collection had been closed because of coronavirus restrictions. Police said a tip-off led them to the apartment at the weekend and they found the painting tucked away in a cupboard.
Okay.
Now, the 36-year-old owner of the flat was arrested on suspicion of receiving stolen goods. Having returned the painting to the church, police are now still investigating how it was stolen in the first place because there's no signs of a break-in or no sign of trespass, nothing.
Oh, wait, so hang on. They don't know how it was. They got a tip-off that it was there.
Yeah.
And now they're trying to work out how it got from the church to there.
Mm, and the
right.
And the prosecutors come out and said, look, it was a lot of hard, diligent police operation, a hectic investigation.
Imagine the phone call that the police would have had to make to the church. It's like, ring, ring, ring. Hello, this is the police. Yes, yeah. Good news. We've found the painting of yours that was missing. And they're just kind of going, I think you may have the wrong number.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about, painting of ours that's missing?
Yeah, so... Naturally, the Italians, they're very passionate people. They've been talking up their police work.
Yeah.
But all they did was get a tip-off and rolled round to his place and be like, what the hell? There's a painting in the cupboard.
Cops are like high-fiving. There you go.
they're high-fiving. We're great.
Yeah, good work today, Bazza.
All right, that is not time for a donut. That's time for a baguette. Let's go.
Yeah, good stuff there. Good stuff all round with that tip-off. It was really brilliant.
Oh, spaghetti tonight.
Can we keep an eye on this story? I'd love to know, how it was...
Yep.
Because it seems either it was just someone who worked at the church, just kind of took it and thought, I'll take this, or there's some full-on James Bond stuff going on there.
Well, I don't know.
Like, abseils down from the ceiling and all this kind of, and just avoids detection.
I can't think, I can't assume that it was just someone from the church museum that thought they'd take it home, because someone was always going to notice. It was purchased in New York for $591 million.
Yeah, that is quite a lot.
So, someone... It's not like pinching a pencil from the workplace.
Well, maybe it is because they didn't notice. Like, I pinched a pencil or a pen or something from the office here, no one would notice.
Maybe
that's just the equivalent when you work in a church museum.
Yeah,
If you nick a $500 million... painting.
It doesn't matter because there's a billion-dollar painting right next to it.
That's where all the security is.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
Hey, Simo, if you win Captain Cash today, you could potentially invest in some property. Are you... You're not in the market for a house at the moment.
No, I did sit down in a bank and think about it at one point in my life. And I was like, this doesn't seem like it's for me.
It's got a lot of money, which is not what's in my bank account at the moment.
So, no, not currently. How much is a place going these days?
Well, Simo, the reason I bring it up is because a place has kind of caught my attention. But like you say, this is not for you.
Okay.
But, perhaps someone else. It is over in England, so... Would be quite a bit of travel required. If you were still to work here, there'd be quite a decent daily commute.
Is it an estate? Does it come with manservants and a horse?
Other end of the spectrum.
Oh.
Like, it's still a nice house. It's still a modest house, but it's a semi-detached three-bedroom home in just the suburbs.
Right. So it's, did you say semi-attached?
Semi-detached? Semi-attached?
Semi-detached?
Semi-detached.
Right. Does that mean it's hard for families to live there because it just doesn't... like them. It's like they're kind of, they never can really crack the emotional level with the house.
No.
Okay.
It's the type of house that it is.
Yeah, just detached.
Yeah, it's like, so there's like a big block and it's cut in half, so there's two houses. So
it was like cold, as opposed to, what do they say, deep and meaningfuls, D&Ms. C&D, cold and distant.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, no. It's not that, though.
Okay, so how much is it going for?
Well, Simo, it's going for, the price is £125,000.
Total?
Yeah, which I thought was a bit cheap.
£125,000.
I was kind of,
okay.
I thought it was a bit cheap. There may be a reason why it's so cheap.
Okay.
So it is a 3-bedroom house.
Yes.
You will be sharing the house, well, the outdoor space of the house with the previous occupant.
Okay. Who is it?
So it's got a modest-sized backyard, and the former owner is sadly passed away, hence why the house is for sale.
It's haunted.
Not at this stage.
Okay.
However, one of the past owner's requests, and perhaps why it's slightly cheap, is that he will be buried in the backyard.
Oh, that's okay.
You wouldn't have a problem with that?
Nah, there's heaps of stuff. There's probably heaps of stuff buried in your own backyard. You just don't know.
I mean, yeah, that's a good... I was reading some of the comments on this, and some people did say yes. You know, there's like, oh, I'm sure, you know, there's lots of stuff buried. No, I don't want to... But still, if you don't know that it's there. So it's kind of out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, well,
you do know that the previous owner is you'll be sitting in the backyard one day, and then it's just like, oh, he's 6 foot underneath.
Well, I'm pretty sure where I am, there's a couple of dogs and horses out the back of.
Yeah, but like, there's a difference between
horses and people.
Horses and it's like the horse didn't have a mortgage or anything like that.
Four legs is a dead giveaway.
Yeah, and eating hay,
dead giveaway.
So Simo, you would be fine with this.
Yeah, it's a bit awkward because they don't know him, right? I assume. Yeah.
Well, this owner, he had lived in this particular house pretty much all his life, which is why he had some connection to the house and why he wanted to be buried there, which is nice,
There's
I guess.
No way that place is getting away unhaunted.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to say haunted was my second thought.
Yeah.
My first thought was scratch out the plans to build a swimming pool in the backyard.
Yeah, no, don't do that.
You're not going to be digging up the backyard going, oh, the swimming pool will look nice. And then all of a sudden, forgot about you.
Yeah, jeez. You can't really go against it if it's in a will, right? And...
As part of buying the house, you have to kind of agree to this is going to happen. This has happened.
How did this happen? So the guy loved the house. He lived there.
Yeah, so he lived
there.
Did
he then die?
Yeah.
Right, and then he...
No, what do you think?
I'm trying to work out the timing.
Yeah, so this guy, he lived at this house pretty much all of his life.
Yeah.
Sadly passed away, and this house being sold as his estate type thing.
Right, but so he's dead.
Yes.
Is he already buried there, or are they waiting?
Unconfirmed.
Yeah, that's weird.
I think he is already there.
That's not
but
like,
unconfirmed.
Yeah, they're not just kind of waiting around, you know, for the moment.
No,
you'd think that all kind of happens.
Yeah, no, that's all. That's all. They've kind of filled out the paperwork. That's all taken care of.
Yeah, and then so that they're already there, and now the house is for sale.
Yeah.
Okay, right. It's not like they have to make the decision on whether or not it's allowed.
No. Okay, it's already done.
Well, good luck to whoever takes that house on.
Yep, and good luck dealing with the ghost.
Yeah, take some.
That will 100% be there.
Take some salt.
Yeah.
Take what else? Silver? That's werewolves. But just in case.
Yeah, that could be werewolves. Take that as well. Garlic? Oh, no, that's vampires.
Vampires. Garlic, silver.
Garlic, silver.
Salt for ghosts, I believe.
Is salt for... I thought salt was for cooking.
I thought the salt was for hot chips.
Yeah.
No, it does have other uses, Jordan.
What if a ghost likes hot chips?
Then you're screwed.
Simo and Jordan. This is the end, but only of today's podcast. And remember... Don't move toward the light.
No, go toward the light.
No, don't go toward the light.
You've got to go toward the light.
Don't listen to him.
Yes.
Shut up.
Right.
To hear Simo and Jordan live, join them for Takeaway, on air weeknights from 7 across the Capital Radio Network.
Yeah. That should do it.